This is Brock and Salk.
I don't read the internet, guys.
Presented by Carter, Volkswagen, and Ballard.
Take the bull by the hands.
On Seattle's Sports Station.
And Brock, you are. And Brock, you are.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Now here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
Let the fire!
Man, are you following this controversy today, Brock? We got all kinds of controversy today.
No.
Really?
No, honestly.
Well, there's Michael Jordan's kid dating Scottie Pippen's ex-wife. That's pretty crazy. That's just something just wrong there.
One more time?
Michael Jordan's kid is dating Scottie Pippen's ex-wife.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Saw her a couple times. Trailblazers games back in the day. Had a connection to the Trailblazers.
Okay.
Ticket guy. So, oh, yeah, she was quite a scene.
She's a
then.
Whole thing.
Oh, a whole thing.
Yeah, well, she's apparently dating Jordan's kid.
And 48 now.
It's crazy. Yeah. No, the other big controversy this morning, I don't know if you've seen this.
No.
Is what's going on at the golf event where Patrick Reed has apparently thrown a tee at Rory McIlroy.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you got major beef. It'll probably end up in a lawsuit, I'm sure. But, yes, Patrick Reed.
Did it land in his eye?
No, but apparently Rory ignored him, wouldn't speak to him because of the whole Liv thing and his stupid lawsuits and all that. He went over to talk to Rory, and Rory just wouldn't even acknowledge his presence. And so as Patrick walked away in disgust, he threw a tee at Rory McIlroy. He may have even flicked it. I don't know.
Flicked that.
It could have been a flick.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Like you're disposing of a cigarette or something.
Yep.
So I don't know where this is going to go next, but anything could happen.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm better for knowing those two controversies. Thanks.
I thought so.
So as our listening audience, really appreciate that.
Hey, people got to stay up to date with what's going on in the Gossip Girl world.
That's what morning shows do.
That's what I got for you here this morning. I know. We just need to bring Howdy in for some high-pitched laughter or something. We'd be good to go. Meanwhile, we avoided controversy here in Seattle yesterday as Aaron Goldsmith, as we've mentioned a few times, is opting to stay here with the Mariners rather than go to his hometown of St. Louis and take over the St. Louis Cardinals games. Want to just let people know, first of all, Aaron will be on the station today at 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock this afternoon with Wyman and Bob. So if you want to hear Aaron and hear his story and why he decided to stay, etc., you can do so by going to listen to Wyman and Bob today at 4 o'clock. I offer a couple of thoughts on this. One, and I spent the first segment of the show today talking about this. It's a big win for Mariner fans. And I think Aaron brings some really unique gifts to the table. You talked earlier, Brock, about what a great partner he's been. I've not worked with him in that capacity, but just as a viewer and a listener. And I'll make the same sort of statement ahead of time that I made then. When I say all these nice things about Aaron, please don't see them as shots at any of the other Mariner broadcasters, who I think are all tremendous. Honestly, I think we're very lucky with all five guys.
Noted hater Tim Hasselbeck said it.
Yeah, it's true. But I do like the guys we've got here. I think they all do a very good job, and they have different strengths. So the fact that I say some of these things about Aaron should not take away from the strengths of the other folks who are part of that broadcast. But I think he's really smart. I think he brings a tremendous amount of humor and lightness and levity to the broadcast. And I think the way he chirps, and you mentioned it earlier, Brock, his sarcasm, but his chirping at either Rick or Mike Blowers, I think brings a tremendous amount of relatability to it. And I think he also probably spends the most amount of time thinking about the league as a whole because of some of the national stuff that he's done over the last few years. Mm-hmm. And I think that gives you a little bit of a broad spectrum of putting the Mariners into context.
Yeah, I would echo all of those things. I would say the Mariners could not lose him. And you felt when you know, Larry Stone had tweeted about it, others had tweeted about it, folks in St. Louis tweeted about it, whomever leaked that, I think that was good for Aaron, frankly, because all of a sudden you felt an uproar from the Mariner fans and people in the media here, like, no, do not lose him. Do not lose him. He has forged a pretty unique connection here with the audience. And that's what that position does, I think, in that sport more than any other. Right? Steve Rabel, amazing. I mean, he's formed a connection. He started as the color analyst next to Pete Gross. And then he's flipped over to the play-by-play man seat, and he's done it for centuries. I mean, he's old, right? So you're old, man. Centuries. Last century to this century.
Not very nice.
But he gets, right, 16 at-bats, a couple preseason games, hopefully playoffs. I mean, baseball, you have – it's daily. Mm-hmm. It's a pastime. You form the Vince Scullys and the Jack Bucks and the longtime guys and the Dave Niehauses. You form a relationship on a daily basis. It's just different. And you heard the uproar from the Mariner fans saying, you know, in the social media realm, like, no, find a way.
Well, and he's made a connection there, certainly in social media, which is a credit to Aaron and his, as you've said, his relatability. You know, yeah, we can play you some of the big calls and we have, or I know people love when Aaron's voice cracks and he gets excited. I still like sort of the, what did we call it earlier? Like the lawnmower starting thing. Mm-hmm. Like I like the kind of the jackhammer effect. All right. I kind of like that that you get, like, it's more really more of a leaf blower effect. But I think Aaron's great gift, honestly, is throughout the first eight innings and his ability to just make the game fun to watch and fun to listen to. And so I think that is really, really good news. And I can tell him, from my perspective, good for you understanding that this has become home. You know, I unfortunately didn't realize that, however long ago that was now, almost 10 years ago. I didn't realize, it is 10 years ago, in fact, I didn't realize that this had become home. And I kind of blew that and did go back and found out that sometimes you can't go home again. And yeah, we've kind of gone through all of that. But good for him, because it can be really hard to try to go back to your hometown after leaving and sort of learning a different view of the world. So I really hope he's happy. And I hope that he ends up being as happy here as I am.
Yeah, I wish you all
every day
could have had what. Yeah, you are happy
every day.
Every
stinking day,
especially the cloudy, heavy marine layer.
Yep, those days, especially
those milk bowl days in January and February.
Really enjoy those days.
Love it.
They are the best.
I wish you all could just see how our crew giggled when Aaron filled in for 4 or 5 weeks, and Joe Davis, I love, and every analyst and every play-by-play man, as you said, Sims and Riz are different. They bring different traits. They bring different backgrounds. They bring different skill sets. Aaron brings wit and sarcasm and humor. And I wish you could have seen the stitches that he left people in at the dinner table the night before the game, or we'd get in the booth and he'd yell at Craig, you know, and you just laugh. There is just a fun. It's why John Smoltz has told our Fox executives, man, of everybody he loves to work with, and he loves Joe Davis, and Joe Davis and Aaron at the very top of the Fox baseball calls, and Adam Amin is up there, and he connects with people, man, and he makes them laugh. And if you can do that, that's a pretty strong gift. Mm-hmm. And I think the audience felt that, and the reaction was strong. And to make sure that he stays here and he's a part of these Mariner broadcasts in these great years ahead with young people that he relates to, right?
It's the way the Mariners operate, Brock. It's not always about who you bring in from the outside. It's about who you retain. Right. I mean, it's about what you do to keep your core, keep your nucleus intact.
Thanks, Jerry. No, I appreciate that, Jerry.
What you want to do moving forward. Anyway, Aaron Goldsmith will join Wyman and Bob today at 4 o'clock to tell his story here. And I should also note, look, the guy, I mean, like, we can sit here and praise him for choosing Seattle. He chose Seattle over St. Louis. I mean, I know it's a baseball town, but let's be clear. He didn't choose Seattle over Chicago or Los Angeles or one of the San Diego, one of the great cities of this country. He chose it over St. Louis. So does he even really deserve any credit for that at all?
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Seahawks, we now know, will have 10 picks. There was some thought it might only be 9, but they do get 10 picks. So each of their own 7 plus 3 extras, one in the first, one in the second, and one in the fifth as well. Now, we don't know exactly where those will fall just because of the comp picks have yet to be figured out, but that's a lot of weaponry for John Schneider and his group to try to do what they need to do to repeat the success of last year. And he knows that that is a team effort.
We didn't feel the need to draft for need, if you will. We just we really were able to get in a comfortable place with the staff and say, hey, look, these are the players. We're going to keep taking good players through throughout the draft, and we're not going to reach. And, you know, we're going to keep plugging away and doing what we do and moving around. And, you know, the players and the staff did a great job of, when I say staff, I'm not just talking about the coaches. I'm talking about, you know, Mo Kelly and EK and David Strickland and Sam and the strength conditioning guys and everybody. Like, they did a great job developing these guys.
On that, give me the opportunity to continue to draft the best players available. And I think the good news is that there's going to be a lot of very good players, Mike, available at the line of scrimmage through the first two rounds. And when you have pick number five and what you may be able to do with that, whether that's to trade down, to add even more ammunition, and you have pick 20, there are going to be tremendous football players that are different than other guys available to you. And that, to me, was what last year's class was about as well. Right, the guys that just aren't normal physically. Ken Walker and his explosiveness, not normal. Charles Cross, not normal. Abe Lucas at his length and strength, not normal. Continue to find more and more of those guys and continue to build up this roster.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Well, a week or so after entering the transfer portal, it does sound like Sam Huard is zeroing in on a new home. Brock, I'll let you give us the details here, but multiple reports have him seriously considering a move to Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo, beautiful seaside town in Central California on the Central Coast. His high school coach is there, might be able to lure some other talent with him. Is that a possibility? Yeah. Obviously, you know, it's a chance, though, taking a move from a Power 5 school to an FCS school. What do we make of this?
Well, here's a couple things I know. If and when that decision is made, he will be joining this morning show to talk about that.
Wow.
And all that went into that.
Have we ever had Sam on the show?
Have we had Sam on the show? That's a good question. I feel like we have.
The new.
Oh, no. Yeah, certainly not.
Like ever going way back. I don't know that we've ever had Sam on the show.
I mean, we've had Haley on the show. We've had Cecily on the show. We've had a lot of children. Macy on the show. Avery on the show.
Yeah.
Titus on the show, but never have had Sammy. So if and when that comes, and I think that will be done this week by sources I'm talking to, pretty good chance you'll hear the ins and the outs from Sam Huard himself. I do know that multiple Power 5 schools reached out and continue to reach out through this process, but I think there's two things that jump out to me here, Saul, the more that I've thought about it, and it certainly came up in my daughter's recruitment as well. People over perception and fit over flash. That ultimately, when you make some of these decisions, and you know what? We just got done talking about Aaron Goldsmith and the decision he made. You've made decisions in your life. I think many times when you pick the people over the perception from the outside, you benefit from that. And when you find the right fit, and for him, the fit in Cal Poly would be his high school coach. And he and Sheldon Cross built the Kennedy program into what it was, from ground zero into a state title contender. And Cal Poly is at the bottom of the Big Sky, and Sheldon hired to be the offensive coordinator there. And that same fit and that same opportunity could reside in a pretty beautiful place.
That's a good point here from the 206. Any truth to the rumor that he's just going because it's closer to Paso Robles and that Damon is trying to get some footholds into
some
that
new appellations?
Yeah, is there any truth to that rumor?
Well, we could bring him on too.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
I mean, at least get us Marino, my God. Mariners fans rejoice after a little scare. It turns out Aaron Goldsmith will be returning to call Mariner games after reportedly taking his name out of consideration for that open job in his hometown of St. Louis. Definitely good news for those of us who think he does a great job. He brings life, levity, intelligence, breadth of knowledge to every broadcast he does. So really good news, and he will join Wyman and Bob this afternoon at 4 o'clock. Elsewhere in baseball today, Hall of Fame results coming out. Todd Helton will probably make it. Scott Rolen is on the bubble. I think he might get in. And it seems like Billy Wagner is going to be the first guy out. He'll come close, but not get there in his eighth attempt. So maybe next year, number nine for Billy Wagner. To me, Todd Helton's an all-star. He was among the best first basemen of his time. Yep. Scott Rolen, I don't really feel strongly one way or another, but like, it doesn't bother me to put him in. I don't see him necessarily as like a definite Hall of Famer. Billy Wagner, I would really like to see get in. I thought he was one of the dominant closers of his time, and I thought he was one of like the breath of fresh airs to watch in baseball during that time.
This is not going to be maybe the most star-studded class if those are the two frontliners compared to some recent memory with the kid and others. But Todd Helton was also an amazing defensive first baseman. Mm-hmm. And certainly was a big part of.
Roland was an incredible defensive third baseman.
Yep, a building with Larry Walker, the whole Colorado Rockies organization. organization. When it comes to Aaron Goldsmith, man, he has just built a connection. And you know, that seat, and we have been so fortunate in this town. And I don't think this is myopic, and I don't think it's biased, because I travel the country and get a chance to be in other markets. We have been spoiled with some of the most abundant riches when it comes to broadcasters in this market, man. Kevin Calabro with the Supersonics for so many years. Obviously, Rick Niehaus and the Hall of Famer with the Mariners, and what, you know, Steve Rabel's done for centuries with the Seahawks. Just some of the very best of the best in this market. And I throw Bob Rondo with the Huskies for his decades as well. And I don't mean to leave anybody out. And Rick Riz and Dave Sims and everybody else does a phenomenal job too. But man, have we been spoiled with some of the best in the business here.
All right, that's everything you need to know quarter past every hour here on the new Brock and Salk show. Does Sammy surf?
Does Sammy Heward surf? No.
Is he not interested in learning? I mean, if you're going to end up in San Luis Obispo, I would think that's got to be on the list of things that you've got to try.
But does his dad and uncle really like fish burritos? Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Oh, seaside burritos?
Yes. Uh-huh. There's a place in San Luis Obispo called Mr. Pickles, and he's going to have to go to as well.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But Pismo's right there. You're right.
It's right. You're close to Pismo. I mean, like, that's California Central Coast surf.
Madonna Inn, that weird spot.
Yeah. Oh,
I love that area so
much. I mean,
much.
I got to imagine if you're going to school there, you got to at least like get out and try it a little bit, right?
Oh, well, maybe. Yeah.
I would certainly hope so.
Yeah, great. Good place. For balance. Yeah, mm-hmm.
It is good for balance. Good for
absolutely.
Strength. I mean, like
absolutely.
Back, shoulders.
Can you give me a Goldsmith call? By the way, do you have one on there? You played one earlier. Can you just give me a little? We're getting close. We're like a month away from spring training.
Yeah.
Can you just kind of give me one?
I only have one on here. Here you go.
This is loaded, two outs. Here comes the payoff. Julio blasts this out to center. This is driven back by the wall. Julio, grand slam! It's the first grand slam by the Mariners this year, and it's done by the 21-year-old All-Star. He has blown it open in Texas.
That's pretty good.
He does have a lot of energy, man. It's great. It is one of those great gifts that just sort of adds energy to a broadcast, especially in those big moments. And baseball can use that. I mean, there's nothing wrong with adding a little extra energy to a baseball broadcast in the right moments at the right time, and then understanding when to kind of lay off. And I think Aaron does a great job of that. All right. Speaking of great baseball broadcasters, Shannon Dreher is about to become like the, what do you call the last of their species?
Whoa.
Shannon is it. As of this week, Shannon is the only one of her kind. And we'll talk to her next. Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710.
Wow.
SeattleSports.com.
This is Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Back in mornings from 6 to 10.
On Seattle Sports Station.
That's right, Brock. I was not joking when I said it a few minutes ago. Perhaps the last of her kind, like the last unicorn. Shannon, of all the people I know, I bet you've seen The Last Unicorn.
I have not.
You've never seen The Last Unicorn? Really? That's so up your alley. I'm so surprised by that. All right. Well, you are now with the end of the Sweeney Murdy era in New York. As far as I know, the last traveling radio baseball reporter.
I'm not sure if that's a good thing. Well, I don't think that is a good thing.
It's not a good thing for baseball.
Traveling baseball. No, that's terrible.
But it's good for you.
I don't want to be a unicorn.
It makes you unique. It makes you a unicorn. It's great.
I prefer to be the shortest traveling baseball reporter. I don't need to be the only one.
Well, that's still true. I mean, that hasn't changed.
Shannon, how have you endured? How have you endured while others have not been able to last?
We need like David Attenborough doing like a segment on and his like doing his like, I don't know, nature whatever thing with Shannon.
And here she walks in,
right, exactly.
In circle. Four foot 11.
The enemies cannot see me. The predators cannot see me.
That's how she hides in the brush. All right, Shannon, let's dig in. First of all, before we dig into some Mariner stuff that we've been waiting to talk to you about, probably the biggest news of the offseason was the return of Aaron Goldsmith yesterday, that he will stay here in Seattle. Brock and I have been talking about it throughout the morning. We're very excited. It's a nice win for Mariner fans.
No, it's a huge win for Mariner fans. And it was, you know, it's a long Seattle nightmare over when that tweet came across yesterday that, no, he'd turned down or he'd taken his name out of consideration for the job in St. Louis. But it really had me looking back at what has been his tenure here. And, you know, he had to come in after 2 years of rotating the announcers. What are they going to do to replace Dave Niehaus? Nobody, of course, can replace Dave Niehaus, but this was a decidedly different turn to go with a young broadcaster like Aaron. And he very quickly carved his place out. And to see his calls, to see him do the national games, to see the calls that go viral, and just to see him grow has been an absolute blast. But what was really neat was when the news and watching Twitter the last couple of days, just the outpouring of, well, we can't lose him, but there was also a lot of, but St. Louis is home, good for him. I'd hate for this to happen. But if this is, you know, what takes him away, you know, good luck, and it's hard to say no to that. And it's very, you don't see very much nice on Twitter anymore, and this was very nice. So he has so been embraced by the fan base, and it was neat to see that play out, and even better to see that we're still keeping the band together.
It's pretty fun for me, Shannon, selfishly, a couple years ago to work with Aaron for 4, 5, 6 games that we got a chance to do as Joe Davis went and did baseball. Aaron got a chance to work with our crew, and I had no idea that he is as hilarious as he is, whether that's in the booth, whether that's in breaks, whether that's before the game, whether that's at the dinner table the night before in a production meeting. Does he keep you in stitches as much as he had our crew over that month and a half?
It is nonstop. It is. We talk all the time that it's you know, we should sell what happens in between innings sometimes, because it's the conversation. It can go two different directions. It can be incredibly inside baseball, which is fascinating, and then it can be just absolutely ridiculous. So, and you never know what it's going to be from moment to moment, but there is never a dull moment in that booth. And yes, he is. He's one of the funniest people I know.
All right, let's get inside baseball then, Shannon. Is the Mariners roster fairly set leading up to spring training?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, you are in that kind of window right now where you need to get everything ready to go. And let's not forget that this is going to be a very different spring training. There is a lot to learn in this spring training with the new rules that are coming up. And we had Perry Hill on the Hot Stove Show last week, and this is a big deal. This isn't something that's going to be adjusted to in a day or two. He said it could take a few weeks for the infielders in particular to get comfortable with the shift and how they are going to shift people in the different formations that they will use, what they can do and what they can't do. And then the timing of everything will be completely different with the pitch clock as well. So a lot going on, a lot to be learned, a lot to adjust to. And in the middle of all that, you're going to be losing a significant number of players to the WBC. So I think teams, for the most part, want to get the group that they have there, get going, get see what they have, and, you know, make adjustments as they do when they get into season. You look at the free agent market, there's nothing left there. Trades have really slowed down. And again, I think you are in that window where, okay, it's time to make our plans. What are we going to do? And then perhaps a few months from now, you see some things happen. But when you look at what Jerry Dipoto set out to do, he got the impact middle of the order bat and Teoscar Hernandez. He filled the need at second base and did so interestingly enough. It looks like we're going to see pretty much a platoon and see more of Dylan Moore than he wanted a left-handed bat and a right-handed bat, right-handed extra bat. In the outfield is Pollock, left-handed is LaStella. So I think they're there for now. The only thing that he would want to add, and while he's always looking to improve the club, but the only thing, you know, kind of big item was an impact bat, another impact bat. And that simply doesn't appear to be out there right now. So it would seem that they, for now, are done, barring any surprises.
As you ramp yourself up, as the unicorn gets ready to head down to Peoria in 3 weeks from Thursday, I believe, the February 16th, the pitchers and catchers report. Are you a big studier of zips and Fangraphs and projections? And do you like to do that kind of homework to get ready to go?
No. I appreciate, you know, the work that goes into the different projections. And I do, you know, you keep an eye on it. You don't not pay attention to it, but I'm very much, let's see what happens on the field. and then taking it one step forward. And we had a really interesting conversation. We had Dave Cameron on the Hot Stove Show coming up tonight. We actually pre-taped it yesterday. And, of course, remember Dave Cameron from Fangraphs, from USS Mariner, from being able to talk 180 miles an hour in a minute. And he has slowed down a little bit.
He's getting older. He's got kids. That happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
Happens
to
the best of us.
You lose some of that energy and whatnot. But it's something that I've really been watching for a few years and wondering, and I got to ask him the question about it. And with what, you look at the traditional scouting and the traditional numbers and projections and how long it takes a player to show what they are. It might be 3 years before you know what they are, or, a guy is what he is at some point. That no longer is true with the amount of performance centers, the drive lines, et cetera, that you have. And they're not just teaching new pitches. They are getting into, all of the biomechanics. You can change a player's strength, his physicality, his flexibility, which can change everything that they do. And they can break everything down right now. With the technology that is out there and what can go into changing players and how available it is to players, those projections are becoming less and less. You need to know more about, well, did this guy go and do this or that? And a lot of things where a player is what he is, you are seeing less and less or more examples of guys that do change, beyond the year age of 25 or 26. So for me, I always say it's a game that's played 162 games a year by 26 human beings. So much can happen that to me, I think the projections are interesting. I think they're good to go back and take a look back and see where you missed and why might have you missed on it. But I don't get too wrapped up in them. I need to see the player himself, what he has done, what happens on the field. And I do believe that because of where baseball is right now with everything that's available to them, you're not necessarily what you think you are at any point.
And I asked that a question, Shannon, because I think you could actually find consensus. Just like you kind of found Joy and Aaron Goldsmith on Twitter and the social media realms, I think you could actually find a bit of consensus, which is outside the norm. And people do and have looked at Fangraphs and Zips and those others and say, you know what, if there's one area that this team, the bullpen, check, starting pitching, check, right field, center field, most positions, check, 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 check. All those things check off. But the one area is just that left field and that designated hitter. That if there is a place for an impact bat, that is still a hole that could be filled. I hear you pretty clearly saying that when these guys get together 3 weeks from Thursday, you don't have a lot of sense that they're going to add a bat between now and then?
Well, I'm not sure how they can add a bat or a significant bat or a bat that's going to be an upgrade of anything that they have right now. It is getting kind of late for trades. I think a lot of people will look back at the Jesse Winker and Eugenio Suarez trade that we saw last year. But you have to remember you were coming out of a lockout when that happened. Even though it was so late, everything was pushed. Those kinds of trades are you don't usually see. Now, what you could see going into spring training, it is kind of curious to still see the amount of starting pitching that they have with this group. There's nothing wrong with that because I think it's been proven you can never have too much. But I think there is a full expectation that you would see your sixth starter, seventh guy traded. And I think that, again, at this point when teams are looking and kind of pulling back a little bit, things happen in spring training, and should a team need a starting pitcher, the Mariners will have one. Perhaps that's where you see that kind of addition. But again, I don't think it's going to be anything that is too dramatic. I think it's going to be more of a complementary piece that perhaps is a little bit better than what you have right now. I know Brian Reynolds is still out there. I don't, the sense is that they're going to wait a little bit unless they get blown away. I've seen no indication that the Mariners are going to absolutely gut the farm system and some major leaguers to bring him in. So I don't know. I think that need is going to be there. It's been there for a long time, but I think at this point you take a look and see what you got.
Shannon, you mentioned that rotation. If you don't make a move, and I know you wrote about this at CLSports.com, if you don't make a move, what do you do? I mean, you got five guys, six guys, really, that have been proven major league starters. And you got a seventh, potentially, in Bryce Miller that a lot of folks think is ready to start right now and might be the fifth best starter on this team. So what do you do?
Well, you obviously let it play out. And again, you get into spring training and things happen. And, that article that I had up on Seattlesports.com.
There we go.
Ring the bell, another $5 in the jar. You know, one of the things that really struck me is this rotation has been one of the most, the three of your pitchers have been three of the most durable pitchers over the last 5 years in baseball. Robbie Ray, Marco Gonzalez, and Luis Castillo are in the top seven of innings thrown in that time, which is just remarkable. And sometimes you get nervous about that kind of thing, and sometimes you look at that, and, well, that's a good thing. But something, you never know. An injury could happen. You know that you've got guys that threw a lot of innings last year, so it's good to have that insurance. But I think that if everybody stays healthy, which is what they have been doing, I think you see something similar to last year. I do think you see Marco in the rotation, and the main reason for that is his stuff just would not play in the bullpen. Flexen has got a better shot as a reliever than Marco does. But that's when you start to see players get blocked, like a Bryce Miller. And, yeah, I've talked to some people, and I think it's likely – yeah, he might be their fifth-best starter right now. I think he breaks in the pen. That's not something we've seen them do in a while, but if they have five starters, that's a way that they would go and feel comfortable. And something that you know, traditionally have seen more often with young pitchers is they get their feet wet working out of the bullpen. And it could be a more – we keep hearing about this every year, and we never see it, and this might be the year to do it, but it could be a more structured role. I mean, George Kirby threw almost double the number of innings that he's ever thrown in his career, and he is, you know, the prize of that rotation. Yes, Luis Castillo, obviously your ace, but what George Kirby can do and the eyes that he opened and his numbers and every metric that you have on him, he is absolutely special. And they've got to find a way to take some innings or just at least be careful with him. And they don't want to skip start. So maybe you do have a situation where you finally get into that. Okay, you are going to go out and throw five innings, and, you know, Bryce Miller, you're going to come in for two after that, and we're going to stick to that no matter what, or you're going to throw this many pitches, and then we're going to bring the young guy in. But I think that you'll see something very similar to what you saw at the end of the year, and when the next young guy proves to be ready, I think he probably ends up in the bullpen in that longer role, a little bit more structured, and gets his start there.
Are you feeling what I'm feeling here, Salky?
A little spring training excitement?
Oh, just a little.
Just a little
thaw.
Spring training excitement?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit of the December and January thaw, mm-hmm. and just right around the corner, mm-hmm. 3 weeks from Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Shannon, are you feeling what I'm feeling here with Shannon?
I'm feeling something very similar.
I'm kind of feeling it, Shannon, kind of feeling it. Last question, what's on the hot stove tonight? Because it's cooking. I can tell here at 8:30 in the morning. You're cooking a little bit. What else we got tonight?
Oh, yep. We're getting there. We are almost there. Hey, we've got, as I said, we've got Dave Cameron, which is just a fantastic conversation. So interesting on so many different levels, catching up with him. And just, you know, the greatest story. This is somebody who started out a Mariners fan, who took the bus to games, who started the USS Mariners blog and went on to Fangraphs, finds and all of a sudden gets hired by the San Diego Padres. One of my favorite sites last year was seeing him in the clubhouse on clinch night. Mariners hired him as a consultant a year ago. Now he is full-time in player procurement. Really interesting conversation. You know, as a fan, as somebody who likes numbers, it just covers it all. Two segments of Dave Cameron coming up on the hot stove tonight. We have Scott Service for two segments as well.
Big.
We caught up. Yeah, we haven't heard a lot from him in the offseason, so we'll be catching up with him. No. Cooper Hummel, he's on the roster too. Interesting guy, Oregon kid, and he could be a factor in what you're looking for in left field. We'll talk to him. And also, we have been going around the division talking to opposing writers, opposing broadcasters, and just getting the picture of their team and what the opposition, scouting the opposition. Tonight we get Steve Sparks from the Houston Astros. He is an absolute riot, fun guy, but also great baseball guy, former knuckleballer.
Oh, yeah.
And he's going to give us the latest on the Houston Astros.
Mm. Shannon, who are you most excited to see? Who do you need to get eyes on when you get down to spring training? Who are you most excited?
I can't answer that question. There are so many. In thinking about it, and this is not the direction I can see the young guys, I'd love to get down to the lower field, see Harry Field, see Celestine, which we'll have the opportunity to do. Harry Ford, not Harry Field. Julio, of course, guys who make changes, Matt Brash and that cutter that he's throwing right now. Robbie Ray, I've heard, is possibly doing some things. Want to see what that looks like. But, you know, kind of on the anxious side, who I really, really want to see, is Andres Munoz. We haven't talked about this in the offseason, but you remember he was slated to have a foot surgery, and the word on him at the time was, he should be ready to go for the regular season. We will probably bring him along slow. We just want to make sure that's all on track, because Andrés Muñoz. You need him for this team. He's fun to watch, and you hope that you have him opening day. So I just want to get kind of the reassurance on that one.
Good. Shannon, thank you. You're a unicorn. You're the last of your kind.
But I will do my best.
But we're glad you're ours, and we appreciate you and love talking baseball with you, and obviously we'll do it again, and we can't wait to see you down in Peoria as well. Thanks, Shan.
You got it, guys.
There you go. Our friend, the great Shannon Dreyer. By the way, my answer to her, to that question, would be very different than hers.
Felneen Celestine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that your answer?
No, that's not who I'm most excited to see. No, I thought it would be one of two people. For me, I would narrow that down to two. I agree. There are a lot of people I'm excited to see down there and kind of get eyes on and understand what they're about. But for me, there's two. The first would be the new guy, Teoscar Hernandez, right? I mean, this is the guy that you were looking at to replace Mitch Haniger and do more and be the middle of your order and drive in runs and all of the things that you felt like your team needed last year with runners on base. So I he would be right near the top of my list.
All right.
He'd probably, if he's 1A, 1B would be Luis Castillo, right? I mean, this is you have an ace pitcher. You didn't have that last year when you got down to spring training. Robbie was close, and like there was some conversation.
Boring. That's a boring answer.
I don't care, man.
It's just not that good.
Luis Castillo
is that's the dumbest answer you've ever said.
Do you ever expect an answer to be anything but Luis Castillo from?
No, but you know he's ripped me answer. The last. That he's ripped me
you
the
think,
last few months of Blue 88.
Hernandez and Luis Castillo is a lame answer?
Nope, I think Teoscar's a great answer.
Have
I
we seen Castillo Luis Castillo in spring training yet?
I think that's one of the dumbest things you've ever seen.
Well, I really think you're wrong. I mean, you're talking about your new ace that you signed up to a long-term deal.
We've seen him.
Not spring training.
And we've seen aces in spring training. We watched Felix for a long time.
And it's been since then.
Yeah, that's not that long ago.
Yeah, it has been since he was an actual ace.
So, just own it. That's not a great answer.
I'm not owning it. That's a good answer. And if I have to pick a third, my third might surprise you.
Ooh.
My third would be Ty France.
Yeah.
Because I think there's some questions about Ty France right now. Who is he? Yeah. What is he? Is he the guy that we saw in the first, two-thirds of last year? Or the guy he was in the last third of last year where he was a non-factor and into the postseason where he was, again, essentially a non-factor? I have been under the full impression that he was dealing with injury, and everyone in the world tells me I'm wrong. Okay. Yeah. Well, I hope I'm right, because if I'm wrong, then something just happened to Ty France where he stopped being good.
Yeah.
And I'd like that to, go back to the way it was before.
With Teoscar, you want to hear like Nelson Cruz loud.
Mm-hmm.
And based on his contact noise and based on his exit velo and everything else and hard hit measurements, all the stuff that they do, as Shannon said, this isn't about projection. They've got performance ways to measure now that they never have before. Mm-hmm. And all of those metrics tell you that when we're around the cage, it should be Cruz loud.
Yeah.
As far as when he, hits the ball and all that contact.
Matt Brash has to be on that list still. And just, he's just a fun, Justin and I had so much fun watching him from up close in the, throwing
that's
a bullpen.
I was going to say, can you imagine watching Luis Castillo that close? That
yeah,
would be
I'd
cool.
like to see that, man. I want to see what those two fastballs look like and all four pitches.
I got to imagine it when he does the pottery scene from Ghost in his
Yeah,
mind.
That'll exactly. be good.
Oh, we should bring a pottery wheel. You're right. We should set that up.
Yeah, you know what? Remind me as we get close to packing that we can put it on the truck ahead of time. And send it down there.
Great
I've got
idea.
A potter's wheel at home.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Okay. Can I ask a rather outrageous question? Can I ask a outrageous baseball question that many would scoff at? And I'm sure the baseball seam heads would say you're an idiot.
No, you can't ask dumb questions after calling my last idea stupid.
No. You ripped some of my Blue 88 answers over the last few months saying that's the dumbest Blue 88 answer you've ever given. So the fact that
so
you want to watch.
Just revenge?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's pretty fair. Much.
Right.
Okay, let me ask an outside the box, outrageous question. And you can shoot it down and everybody can shoot it down. But it is just if we're going to go from good to great, because, my buddy Curran, the fake Ram incarnation, texted me and he's got a great poll question about whether or not, if the Mariners close the gap with the Astros or have the Rangers and Angels close the gap behind you. And I think it's a fair question and we'll dig into it over the next few weeks. But if you want to take a step and Shannon says right now, there just isn't anything available. And, this is we sit here today and who knows what's to come. What if, and I brought up DeForest Buckner and Blue 88,
yep.
and the 49ers looked at their D-line and said, Bosa, Armstead, Buckner, can't pay them all, going to have a bevy of riches here, and we're going to move on from this guy, and we're going to get first-rounders and pretty, unique return. What if, outrageous, What if they deem Bryce Miller is good or better than Logan Gilbert?
Mm-hmm.
As Shannon said, Kirby's stuff is different. His command is different. But what if they say, man, Bryce Miller, George Kirby, Logan Gilbert, we're not going to be able to pay all three of those guys down the road. And Logan Gilbert, phenomenal year. And I'm not looking to trade Logan Gilbert. But what if they deem Bryce Miller is Logan Gilbert plus? Same kind of stuff. Ridiculous.
But Logan Gilbert got married this offseason, Brock.
Yeah.
Brock, are you ignoring the fact that he got married?
I love that he got married. I asked Jerry about that wedding.
You brought it up like 12 times. So thank you.
Oh, and I'll keep bringing it up.
Are you sure that they should be thinking about trading a guy who's been recently married?
It's a strong plus, actually. I think it's... You know what? Fine. Disregard it. We're out of time anyway.
Well, I just want to make sure we're all on the same page.
You know where I'm going with this, right?
Regarding Logan's nuptials.
You know where I'm going with this.
I do, and quite frankly, Marco, I don't think it's a bad question at all.
Marco and Flexen, you know, their values are value. They're not twos. If this Bryce Miller kid is as unique as they all deem, and mm-hmm. you know what? They've developed, much like the Seahawks developed Geno, and they believe in their development game, and they've developed Logan, and they developed Kirby, and they see the same thing in Bryce. You're not going to have three young guns. The last time we had three young guns was who? Taiwan, Paxton, and the kid that blew his
Danny
arm out.
Holton.
Yes. And we knew that it just wasn't going to work. Well, these two of them are already at the major league level, and this kid is right there close. Would it make sense?
For the right deal?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have that conversation.
Okay.
Yeah, why not? Why wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think you have to.
I mean, if you have an opportunity to deal from some strength in order to yep. build something else up, yeah, absolutely. I don't know that I'm anxious to do it.
Nope.
Right? I mean, it would have to be perfect and everything.
And many times
would need
these
to
things
out.
Work themselves out, yeah. right? And there's an injury and what have you. And this,
but
you
rather
know.
Than looking to trade a back end starter, do you look
Correct.
To trade you
because
know,
if you
one
get
of
great,
your three twos?
If you want to get great and yeah. you want a great return. You don't get a great return, not in today's baseball.
I mean, that's true, but the flip side, Brock, is you're going to throw out four guys in your rotation and maybe five eventually with Miller that could potentially dominate on any given night,
true.
And there's nothing in baseball more important than starting pitching. So,
true.
I mean, we can talk through that they need more bats. They do, but you don't need as many bats if you've got guys pitching like that
yep.
every single start out there. So
yeah.
it's a good question and a good conversation and one that I'm sure will continue into this regular season.
Did I tell you how much I loved Logan Gilbert getting married?
It seemed to be important to you.
Gosh, I
mean,
love that
important
covenant.
Enough to ask Jerry DePoto about
it. Have we
it.
Ranked covenants yet? Have we done that?
I think we did.
Oh,
covenant
we did?
Transport, right? You got the Ark of the Covenant. Coming up next, we'll play a little buy-sell with the playoffs, with the Mariners, with the Kraken. It's Brock and Salk's Sales Sports on 710.